As we continue our study, the book of Revelation, I also continue to encourage you to read your newspapers. So you will see things that were mentioned and prophesied thousands of years ago, unfolding before our own eyes. The last nation left in Europe ratified the EU treaty last night. So December 1st, you will have a full-time EU president. And December, you're having in Copenhagen, climate change conference. It's not so simple as it looks. It's very dicey. If you read the small print, if it is ratified and passed by the nations, then you will have the first world government in charge of certain things. And no country that ratifies can overrule it. Even the courts of the land will uphold it. And under that treaty, if that world government tells, say, a rich country like US, you need to give $50 billion to Bangladesh, they have to do it. They can't come out of it. Okay, so things are happening. You are already seeing precursors of things. A world government, the European Union going to be a one nation. Okay, all those things are coming to pass in our eyes, before our eyes. If these were told 20 years back, 25 years back, nobody would have believed these things were possible. But now it's happening, so we come to Revelation 6, and just look at the second rider, and then we'll go to the third one. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Okay, there are two things mentioned over there which we didn't look when we studied earlier. There's one thing is that you need to realize, it says it was given to him a great sword, so it's talking about wars, but also because of something else that he will do for which he has been given power. He has been given power to take peace from the earth. Then people will start killing one another. Okay, that's different from the sword that is given. The sword that is given is when nation will fight nations. You will have all kinds of wars taking place, insurrections, all this taking place over there. But he also has the power given to take peace from earth. Okay, from man. Peace has been taken. And when peace is taken, people will kill each other. So let's look at it in a little detail as to what it could mean. First, we need to realize when the Bible talks about peace, it talks about three levels of peace, or three kinds of peace. The first is spiritual, that is peace between God and man. The first kind of peace the Bible talks about is when man has peace with God. The second peace the Bible talks about is when man has peace with himself, or peace within himself. And the third peace it talks about is relational, between peace with one another. Okay? Now all these three has been lost and is restored in and through Jesus Christ. In and through Jesus Christ. So when we come to God, the first thing, when we come to God through repentance, through Jesus Christ, the first thing that we have is that we have peace with God. Okay? And then we have the gift of peace which He gives us. So He says, I give you peace, not the way the world gives. It's called the peace that passes understanding. That peace has got nothing to do with our circumstances. If a man or a woman doesn't know God, his peace or her peace is always connected to their circumstances being resolved. Okay? If you're going through a tough situation, that tough situation has to be resolved, otherwise you will not have peace. You'll be always anxious and you'll be always worrying, you'll be discouraged, you'll be depressed. But a man or a woman who knows God and has peace with God has a peace from God. Okay, remember, you have to have peace with God before you can have the peace from God. Okay? Which is irrespective of your circumstances or situations. You have peace from God. When you have peace with God and peace from God, then you have peace with one another. You will have peace even with your enemy. Your enemy may be angry with you or mad with you, but you will have nothing against him or her. You will have peace with one another. Now what happens is, when this rider is unleashed, he takes that peace. Man will have no peace within, Anyway, the people left during this time as no peace with God, but also man's peace has been taken away from within, and he will have no peace with one another. And what does he do? It's not as simple as we think. This is almost going to be like madness, criminal madness, when people will start killing each other. If you saw your news, they were digging up a man's house in US and they were finding more and more dead bodies, remains. Why do people kill like that? Okay, it's madness. Now it's talking about something like that, where the peace will be taken off. He'll be taken for what? So that people should kill one another. People will kill one another, and there would be no sane reason as to why are people doing things like this. But you know what? A day is coming. A day is coming. It's not only about, we are talking about wars, nations fighting each other, wars erupting from within nations, civil war taking place, but also neighbors killing one another. Okay, neighbors killing one another. And then what happens? When peace is taken away, it is replaced by fear. And the height of fear, the heightened form of fear, what is it called? It's called terror. And it's a sign of our days. Okay. You just ask anybody living in the cities of Pakistan, how do they live? You know, last week how many were killed? Or Baghdad, if you're walking in the streets of Baghdad, you never know whether you'll come back home. Doesn't matter, oh, Afghanistan, doesn't matter how secure those places are, how secure those cities are. But you know what? That's the whole idea of terror. Okay? The whole idea behind, you need to realize terror, the way we see it today, is a very new phenomenon. There was never anything called a terrorist earlier. Never in the history of humanity did you have terrorists. It's something new. Because behind terror, there is an ideology. The ideology is to create fear, until you agree with me. Okay? Terror is to create fear. We will achieve our ends by fear. And by fear, you will agree and you will follow me. Okay, so it's an ideology, it's a weapon, and that's what it's talking about. And peace will be taken and there will be replaced. When peace goes, what is it replaced with? It will be replaced with terror. Okay, and that's the rider on the red horse. Let's come now to the third one. It's a little strange. Okay. And I heard a voice in the midst of four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Okay. Now, famine is suggested there, but if you look further down, the next one, you will see, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So famine is coming there also. So is the third one strictly famine alone, or is something else? Okay, it's strict. Because you look at it over there, it says, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. It's talking about what you can buy with a day's wages. It's talking about not just famine, it's talking about food rationing. Food rationing. Okay? Food will be rationed out. Yet it says, do not touch the oil and the wine. It will not affect the rich. The whole massive population of the world, their food will be rationed. Okay, when food is rationed, you need to realize when food is rationed, it doesn't necessarily mean there is an acute food scarcity, but food is rationed for purposes. Yeah, we have to look back in history, especially look in the communist history of Russia and the Eastern Bloc, you will see that how they controlled the people was by controlling the food supply. When you control the food supply, you can get people to do anything. Because hunger does to man what nothing else does. It demeans you. That's why God suggests his people to regularly fast. Honestly, he regularly tells us to keep fasting and praying. But there's something which people who are not used to fasting, when hunger comes, you will do anything. you will do anything. Hunger can make you go mad. Okay? When food and water is controlled. Okay, food and water. Things, this can happen in a second. Things can go out. Especially for us who live in the cities, can happen in a second. In a matter of a week, I'll tell you, if tonight Israel decides to bomb Iran, they have been planning for a long time to take off the nuclear sites off. If they decide tonight is the day they're going to bomb those sites off, within hours Iran will retaliate and hit every oil site in the Middle East. Within hours there will be a crisis of oil in the entire world. And when oil crisis comes, all transportation will grind to a halt. Within days we will have rationing. It's what they are actually, the war in the future is going to be over the oil and water. And if you heard today's news, they already saw pictures that intimidation tactics, China is planning to build a dam across Brahmaputra on their side. Okay, you need to see our water also comes from this side. Everybody will start using tactics. Okay, so what if China dams up our water supply? Suddenly you will have huge plains of the North India going dry. Okay, Turkey is building a dam. Why? To stop the water flowing into the Euphrates. Okay. Nile, others are planning to dam and shut up so that the water doesn't flow. Because you know what? Everybody is looking. We need water. We are already having water wars in our states. Only time they let the water loose is when there is floods. Otherwise, Kaveri Basin, everywhere you have problems over this thing. But you know, a time is going to come when you're going to have war over it. Because the enemy will be given power to do that. And there are huge areas of US where there is water shortage coming in because the water table is dropping down underground. Okay, so two things will be touched. One is water and one is food. And what do the people who are extremely rich do? They stock up. They build huge underground cellars and they stock up food, canned food for months and years together. You know they do that? I'll tell you a simple example. Every year in the little country where I go every year, Bhutan, 1 month of the year, they are not supposed to slaughter. No meat is allowed into that country. The Buddhist monks decide 1 month free for animals. It could be April or May or March or anything. 1 month is free. Okay, so that 1 month, the people in the country, the poor people don't eat any meat except the rich. The rich, before that month comes, stock in their freezers enough meat for a month. Okay. Now, God is saying, do not touch the oil and the wine. Okay. Now, this unfolding of these events could probably happen once the elect are taken off. But the non-elect, if you want to use a term like that, a whole lot of Christians are going to get left behind. Please be very sure, a whole lot of Christians are going to be left behind. Just as a note of caution, we'll come back to that. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will no means pass away. But take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you unexpectedly. Then, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. Okay, be very careful. It says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy. That in those days, when that period comes, every believer who escapes will be found counted worthy by God to escape it. Okay, so what is the warning given? It says it will come like a snare. You know what a snare is? A snare is a trap. You know how the trap falls on an animal? Suddenly. Has no idea at all. Okay, suddenly it will come as a snare. Okay. Meaning the fact is that most Christians, I'm not saying unsaved ones, I'm saying they're saved in the sense they have believed for their salvations, but they were not watching or prepared or ready. Remember about the parable about the 10 virgins? Even the wise one were sleeping when he came. Even the wise, all 10 were sleeping when the bridegroom came. The good part about it is 5 of them were prepared. They went to sleep, but they were prepared. Okay, they had oil in their lamps. So that's what God is talking about. Okay, these things, to escape these things, we need to be very, very cautious. We need to be very. So one thing God says is, don't get into, we'll come to this later. At the end, if we get time, and we probably will have time, we'll come to this. So God's people should not get used to a lifestyle, of leisure. Do not get into a lifestyle of addicted to food, addicted to things, you know, addiction at a very large scale. You know, different things we are addicted to. That's what God actually said there, over there in Luke. Okay, we look at what the word carousing actually means. Okay, we don't strictly define it by its strict dictionary meaning alone. Okay, three things God wants His people. Be careful about these three things. Because when these three things come, you will not be watching and praying, and that day will come upon you suddenly. Okay? So, it's a very sobering message. God is warning His people beforehand. Because Jesus Himself says, from the beginning till the end, never will be a day like this. And remember, this is only the third seed, the fourth seed, and the worst is yet to come. 1, 2, 3, 4 is not the bad. The bad begins after 5. But this, by the time the fourth seal is opened, 1/4 of the world population is done, finished. That is, if it's 8 billion people alive at that point of time, 2 billion people will be killed by then. Okay. That's a huge, that's the population of India and China put together. Okay. So we need to ask ourselves, you know, are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we taking things? Are we taking things very lightly? Because we see things happening right before us. Right before us, things are happening. Okay? You see this movement towards a world government. We see this movement of controlling people. Okay? Everything is falling into place. How to control people? How to control people? The system is getting, the technology is in place, the system is being built. How to control people? Why? Because the one world government is coming. Okay, the one world government is coming. And when Jesus talks about the last days, about wars and rumors of wars and insurrections and terror and fear, and hearts of people shall fail because of fear, and all these things happening, it's happening before our eyes. Okay, and these kind of things never, at this level anyway, never happen. Yet at the same time, what is being talked about, everybody is talking about peace. Peace, 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 peace. And yet that's what Jesus said. When they say peace, peace, peace and safety, what will happen? Destruction will come. Okay, let's look at Lamentations chapter 4 and verses 8 onwards. We have to look, because this is what hunger can do. The visage or their appearance is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin cleaveth to their bones, and it is withered, it is become like a stick. They that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for want of the fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. This is true in history, especially in Israel's history. It's been true in history. That's what I said. Hunger will make you do things which you wouldn't even dream you are capable of doing. Women have eaten their children. Men and women have eaten their children because of hunger and famine. This is what we need to realize. What this can. And you look, if you go back over there, it says their visage is black. Yeah, it talks about what hunger does. And what is the color of the horse? Its color is black. Okay. The color of the horse is black. And that is what hunger makes you. It makes you dark. Your conscience, everything becomes dark. And you do things which is impossible to even imagine. How can a mother eat her own baby? Okay? How can parents kill? Okay? How will one kill one another and eat? But that's what hunger will do. And yet God says, do not touch their oil and their wine. Come to James chapter 5, verse 1, 3 and 5. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last. You have heaped together treasure for the last days. He says, don't worry. Judgment upon you. Even in the midst of the first seal, second seal, third seal, meaning you have preserved. Okay, you are still mocking God. Okay, you can do anything. I am still putting my trust on my riches. I have built my cellar. I have built my strong room. I will escape nuclear holocaust, everything. He says, don't worry. For the last days, you have heaped it all together. Okay. That's what God is talking about. He says, don't touch. Okay. Don't touch their oil. Don't touch their wine. Okay. He says, judgment will come upon everybody, the poor or the rich. Judgment will come. Let's look at the next horse, the fourth one. The fourth horse, come and see. So I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. Death and Hades. Hades is a place where the dead bodies, the spirits go. So there, Death and Hades. And four weapons are given, and four means of death are given. First one is the sword. Next is famine or hunger. Third is death or diseases. And the fourth is by the beasts of the earth. Okay, four are given. Let's turn with us, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. Verses 13 onwards. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it, and I will cut off its supply of bread, and send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel and Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. It talks about three people as being the most righteous people. Okay, of different generations. He says, even if they were to intercede, God says, I wouldn't change my mind. Okay? Come further down. Yeah. I will cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it, and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Even though these three men wherein as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Now come to verse 21. Thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the wild beasts, and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. Okay? The four judgments, he says, I will send it upon it. Okay? He says, I will send it. What is it? The sword, the famine, the disease, and the wild beast. Isn't that what he says in the book of Revelation? The same thing is repeated again. He says, okay, it's judgment. So we don't get the full picture of how God is, what Jesus is. Get the full picture, you know. Sometimes we get carried away by only one picture of that sentimental picture of Jesus. Okay, but that's not how the picture ends in the Bible. The picture of Jesus that ends in the Bible and the book of Revelation is not the picture that we see in the Gospels. Okay, because he's a God who will judge, and he will judge strictly. Okay, and he's going to judge sin strictly, and he will going to judge all rebellion strictly, and he says, this is the way it's going to be. And the judgment has only begun. Okay. The four judgments mentioned in Revelation 6 and 7, sorry, 6 verse 7, is what you see in Ezekiel. And then what happens? It's again God's grace. If you come a little further, he takes away one-fourth of the world population. The fourth horse rider takes away one-fourth of the world population. One-fourth of the people will be killed. So what happens to God's people? what happens to God's people. Okay. Now the thing is that we do not stand for, why I will not say definitely saying, look, before any of this thing happen, all God's believers are going to be taken away. I can't give you that assurance. Yet, there are assurances which God gives in His Word. Turn with me to Psalm 91. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. The arrow that flies by day in verse 5 represents the weapons of war. The arrow, the terror of the night is disease or pestilence. Okay? Verse 6. And verse 6, nor the pestilence, yeah, that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. What is that? That is famine, that is hunger. Okay? And verse 13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. You shall not worry about the wild beasts of the field. Okay? It's giving us a promise. He says you don't have to, because it shall not touch whom? Verse 7. 7. A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Okay? Now, this is the other side which God is saying. Now, if His people are going to be taken away only before the fifth seal, when the first four seals are happening and you and I are caught over there and we are counted as His righteous, God says, this will happen, that will happen, this will happen, you will see. 1,000 fall, 10,000 fall, it shall not come near you. Okay, continue. Only continue down and you will see. Okay? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Okay? For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So, promise, protection is there. Okay? So where does our protection lie? Our protection lies by sticking to God and allowing Him to keep us in all our ways. All our ways. It's not in some ways. In all our ways. That is where we have to be careful. Let's now go to Luke chapter 21. 21. Yeah. Back to 34 to 36. I want to look at those three things. Take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourself. Be careful, he says, lest your hearts be weighed down with kerosene. That first thing, okay, is basically talking about getting too involved with the things of the world, with pleasure. Getting too involved with the things of this world. Kerosene. Is there anything like getting too involved? God says, don't get involved. No. Remember, when we looked earlier, the weeks we were there, we talked about 2 Timothy chapter 3. No, 2 Timothy, not 3, the last days. It talks about the last days. Right? How does it say? Yes. In the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. That's a basic fundamental sign of the last days. And that is where everything else falls into place. Carousing is connected with this. This is what I want. They're a lover of themselves. So what is that I want? So don't tell me anything about it, please. That's what I want. And lovers of money. And okay, these are all things that come as a result of it and come down, okay? Lovers of pleasure, then lovers of God. Okay. But are we lovers of ourselves? Are we lovers of ourselves? What is the sign of when we are lovers of ourselves? When we are lovers of ourselves, we are only thinking about what is that I want? What is that I want? and we'll be only focusing on our rights. Only focusing on our rights. And this is an age, everybody is focusing on rights, and the government is making legislations to see that you can keep complaining about your rights. Children are given toll-free numbers to complain against parents. No. Everywhere it's all about rights, 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 rights. Why? Because people are lovers of themselves. And when we get into lovers of themselves, you know, everything has to be connected with pleasure. People get offended. People get offended. If you try to take that segment out of anything, people get very offended. Because fun has become the main center. And like, it's through entertainment. Everything is based on entertainment. You know? And that's what God is talking about. Be very careful. Be very careful. Because that day will come upon you like a snare. And then drunkenness. The drunkenness is not talking about wine at all. It's talking about basically, you know, addiction to. People are addicted to, you know. Many men have their mistress at home and they are married to their work. I'm not kidding. And it's not a joke. They have exchange. Their wife is their mistress and their work is their wife. And they don't realize it's an addiction. Addiction. Okay. Addicted to sports. Young people are addicted to sports. Men are addicted to bodybuilding. Men are addicted to taking care of their bodies. Addictions. You don't realize that how it becomes bondage. And if you actually sit back and take a week and check out how much time has gone, resources has gone in pursuing these things. The Bible doesn't negate the importance of those things. It's okay. Paul says, okay, physical exercise is good. But he says, not at the cost of spiritual exercise. Okay. Why is that most Christians are walking around like, he says, beating the air aimlessly? That's what he calls it. Why is it? No direction. When it comes to things of God, there is no direction. Okay? Because they are drunk in other areas. We need to ask ourselves, what are we drunk with? What are we drunk with? Our minds are not stable. Because we are in the last days and we have swallowed lie after lie after lie after lie after. If you want to stop lie, stop receiving those lies, first thing, switch your TV off. There is no ad which is true. But you can't keep watching it and think it doesn't affect you. You are accepting and agreeing to lies that lying is okay. Every ad on those newspaper, almost every one of them is lying. And we are receiving this lie after lie. Every program is based on lies. How many programs do you have which is based on God's truth? If it is there, how many people will watch it? And we are taking it over and over and over and over and over. We are taking it over and over. Maybe you love cricket. Maybe you are, but okay, especially in India. But have you watched those bowlers and cricketers and see how many threads are there on their neck and their hands? Do you think the performances are coming? It's ordinary. It's not ordinary. It's demonic. Look at each one of them. How many of they have around? How many they have around? Before every match they go and they pay. And they receive a special gift. And they come. Okay. Yet, we don't realize it. It's deception. All around it is deception. The news is deception. Do you know that news is deception? They're creating news. They don't give you information anymore. They only give you opinion. Their opinion. And we buy it. Okay. And in the process, what is happening is that we are avoiding this. We spend less and less and less time with this. And look at the third thing it says, cares of this life. What is happening? People have been weighed down by work. When are you going to call it quits? It's enough. I have made enough money. I don't need anything more. I have had enough. When are people going to say it's enough? Now most power of young people can't say enough because they have to get out of debt first before they can start saving. But when will people say enough is enough? I have decided this is how far I want to go up the ladder in this world. This is enough. I want to spend more and more time investing in the kingdom. If it's not going to happen, when the day comes, you will see that you were in there. You were in there. Because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be more and more and more difficult to see the truth. What is true? What is real? Even in Christendom, what is true? What is real? Even the big names will go haywire. Because Jesus says, blessed is the man who endures till the end. And how many of them are enduring till the end? How do you know that I will endure till the end? Unless I hold on to the truth each day. And why is it becoming so difficult to hold on to the truth? Because the truth is what is being attacked every day. Every day through every medium, it is the truth that is being attacked. Thank God, I was telling the young people before we began that America still has hope. Because today some of the referendums came, and one was the state of Maine where they overturned the same-sex marriage. The people overturned, which was, they thought it was impossible because that's one of the most liberal states. But they overturned it by 53-47. But you should listen to the response of those who lost. You should listen to how they respond. And you need to realize the news media will only give their comments. They will not give you the opinion of those who said this is wrong. They will only give you the comment of those who are saying, what is your problem? Okay. And yet, the ones who were for same-sex marriage raised $4.1 million for ads. The others had not even half of it. Yet God triumphed. Okay. God triumphed over there. And we are asking this question, what is our opinion? What is our opinion about these things? Are we saying it's okay? It's all right? Are we moving in, giving in to pressure? Into all these things that we are hearing, how are we going to face it? Because this could be any time. One of these seals could open any time. If the first seal is opened, then it's deception like we have never seen. Because what we don't realize is, why is this focus of the world always on the flesh? Look at all the programs you hear about, okay? It's about focusing on the female body. Miss India, Miss Universe, Miss World, Miss, so everybody, all the ramp shows, okay? Everything, it's on the body. It's on clothing, it's on cosmetics, it's on hair, it's about, you talk about, it's all about an exalting about the human body. Then it's an exaltation about the human mind. All programs about the human mind. Okay? Then an exaltation of covetousness about money. These are put across, all the sports people, all these are put across as the ideal for young people to look forward to and target. And when that man of perdition, the Antichrist, comes onto the scene, he's given a number. His number is 666. You need to realize 6 is the number of man, 7 is the number of God. So 666 is the perfect man ever born in human history when it comes in the flesh. Are you getting it? When Jesus came, scripture says there was nothing in him to attract us to him. He didn't come in the power of the flesh. He was not 6'5" with blue eyes and long hair and the way. He wasn't any of those things. He didn't look like John Abraham or anybody. Okay? He came under the power of the anointing. The only thing that kept him separate from the others was the anointing and his compassion and his love. Okay? There was nothing else. Outwardly, he was not a wonderful orator. None of these things were there. He may have been, he may not have been, but none of these things is focused in the Bible, mentioned in the Bible. But when the Antichrist comes, he will be all of this. And therefore, in these days, last days of all times, there is an investment in all these things. So what happens when the Antichrist comes on the scene? All flesh will accept him as the Messiah. That's where Christians have to be careful. Because we are getting pictures in our mind as to how Christ should be by feeding on those lies. feeding on those lies, when the Antichrist suddenly comes onto the scenes with all these qualities of the flesh plus signs and wonders, we'll fall. He is going to come with tremendous signs and wonders. Tremendous signs and wonders is going to come. And then what will we do if we have not been separated by the truth? Continuously. It's not hearing the truth today and says, yes, I know the truth today, I'll keep an eye out for the Antichrist. It's not that. It's by walking in this. The enemy's people are not sleeping at all. Wide awake, full, active and at work. God's people are asleep. And God tells us, do not be weighed by the cares of this life. And God's people are weighed by the cares of this life. Just think about it. What spoiled your mood this morning? Child didn't get up? Maid didn't turn up? Find the house key? You look up at it. How people lose their peace and then carry that through the day. And the enemy will see to that. You know why? We are weighed down. Little things to big things. We are just weighed down by the cares of life. In the process, each day, people are not hearing from God. The word of peace for today, you didn't hear. People don't hear. It's as simple as that. We are weighed down. We are weighed down by projects. Where is our Justin? Our Justin, Dr. Justin is here. But you ask him how he worked for it. Because you see, I was there at CCMB, taking that Bible study for so many people for so many years, and so many PhD students, among them so many Christians were there. But I'll tell you now, honestly, he's the only one here. Let me tell you, he was mocked by everybody. He was mocked by everybody. You know why? Because he was zealous for God. He wouldn't miss a single meeting. He wouldn't miss church, he wouldn't miss single meeting, and he would witness to everybody possible, try to bring all his students to church. Everything possible he used to do. So he also took the longest time to finish his PhD. He took a long time. He went through his trials, testing, no fellowship with a wife and now second kid also. All that he went through. Okay, he went through it, all of it. Yet I know that he was mocked because I heard all of them mocking him. We get weighed down by all these things. What we usually try to do is that we try to cut God out of our lives. First thing, little, we start cutting God out of our lives when things come. You know? That's what we need to ask ourselves. You know? Unless we start changing our life around and really start putting God first, right there at the top. Like I said, no. If you want to know who are the ones who will be found worthy not to be counted, you know who? That's what we looked at Sundays, the disciples. The disciples will be taken off. If you are a disciple, then that day will not come upon you unexpectedly. But if you are a follower, it will come upon you unexpectedly. And God is asking us, what are you today? Because today is the day you have to decide, am I going to be a disciple and follow him? Or am I going to get offended? That's okay, I have drew. You can't put limits around God. If you put limits around your walk with God, you need to realize that's the most dangerous thing that you can do in your life. Because when that trumpet blow comes, if you look at the fifth rider, you just look briefly at the fifth rider, or the fifth seal, sorry, the fifth seal. It's a different set of people there probably. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. You see that? You know their numbers? Scripture talks about that numbers is in millions and millions and millions. It talks about them. There they are. I saw the altar. Under the altar. Which altar it's talking about? You think about an altar? God showed Moses. When he was told to build the tabernacle, he was told exactly like the one in heaven. I'll give you a replica. There is a real tabernacle up there in heaven. And there is an altar in heaven. And under the altar are the souls of those who were slain. Why were they slain? They were slain for the word of God. Now ask ourselves, will we get slain for the word of God? And for our testimony? Will we get? And they were not counted worthy to escape it. God said, let them die. Let them die. Not that they were unworthy people, but they were counted to die. So the souls. But they probably are not the souls of the new covenant saints. So that will be another more millions. These are probably all the old covenant saints who were killed. Why? Because they are crying out, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. So who are these? These are probably people from Abel onwards down to the last Old Testament saint who was killed. Because only in the Old Testament, scripturally correct, you ask for vengeance. In the New Testament, no saint asks for vengeance even when he is being killed. Okay. So these are the Old Testament saints. And the New Testament saints will run into millions and millions and millions and millions of them. And that's when the fifth seal is open. And still, judgment hasn't come yet. Just let's read a little today about what happens when the judgment seal. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. That's us, the new covenant saints. And the old covenant saints are calling out, Lord, Lord, wait. He says, wait. On the other side of the wall, there is another set of people who have to come. The new covenant saints. He says, wait, because you need to realize, when is John writing this? John is writing this in around 75 and 80 AD. And when he's writing this, he is saying that should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Okay. So what are we saying here? We are saying if there is no guarantee you will not be killed. There is no guarantee you will not have to die for your faith. If so, are you ready to die for your faith? Not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's easy. I have stood with men who were in prison. In Bhutan, they have remained faithful. I have stood with men who were in prison for the gospel in Nepal, and I found a year later they had fallen away. And they spent 1 year or 2 years in prison. And they had fallen away by the time I met them. And they were deceiving, getting money from different organizations, putting up false requests. Okay. Yet I have met people in India, in BJP ruled states, where they were beaten up, dragged to idols, forcibly made to bow, and refused to. Okay. There have been people who have been killed in this country, regularly being killed. No FIR is even filed. No records. They are thrown from trains, put in gunny sacks, thrown, and they have been recanted. Okay. In our times, we are talking about our times, our year, these years, past two, three, four years. It's been happening. If they have held on. And God says, you will only hold on to that when that comes, when you are able to be faithful in small things today. We all think that when the big thing comes, we will be faithful. God says, no, you will not be. When you are faithful in the small little things, on our day-to-day small little things, when we are faithful. When we are not faithful in those little things, how are we going to be faithful in the big things? No. That's what we need to ask. Sunday to Saturday, if we are not faithful in our walk with God in those small things, in our peace with God, in receiving a peace from God and walking in peace with one another, then when the big test comes, we will see that we have sold him out. We will betray him. It's as simple as that. We will betray him. Please don't think that that day, all they have to do is pull one nail out of your finger, you will say, no, Jesus, I don't want anybody. Remember Peter to the servant girl? Aren't you also one of his disciples? He says, I am not. Was he threatened by anybody? No. Did a soldier ask him? No. Did Caiaphas ask him? Who asked him? A servant maid asked him. What did he say? I am not. No. Yet didn't he say it each time? I am, everybody leaves, I will be still there with you. Everybody leaves, I will be still there with you. But you know what? When he was tested, he was found wanting. And God is asking us, where are we? Where are we standing? And we need to realize that the trials and the testings into which God has put each one of us, if you are going through a trial and a test today in your life, is specifically to see that you are made strong. Those trials and those testings are given for a very specific purpose. If you are a brother or a sister with an unbelieving spouse and you're having a real rough time at home, it is so that you will learn in love and walk in mercy and in love, so that your faith will be strengthened, because you are one of the chosen ones. If you have no problems in your life, get on your knees and start praying. Seriously, you are in big trouble because your spirit is weak. Really, really weak. You are not ready to face anything. But if you are going through real trouble, a parent with a child who is giving you really trouble, okay, or you have real serious issues in your workplace, then remember, God has allowed that into your life because you are one of the chosen. Okay. Not that that itself will save you, but how you respond to it is what is going to make the difference in your life. In the Bible, Jesus never takes anybody out of their trouble. He walks them through it. He walks them through it. You know what? He walks them through. And that's what God is telling us today. But somehow, we in our last days, we need to, like we heard on Sunday, we need to go back home and count the cost. We need to seriously count the cost. And I feel that many have encountered the cost. They're taking it very, very lightly. Very lightly. Okay, very lightly. We are so busy trying to change one another that we are forgetting to let God change us. And some people are even trying to change God. The only one who needs change is me. I don't need to change anybody. Okay. I don't need to change anybody. Husbands, please don't try to change your wives. Wife. And wives. Okay. Wife, please don't try to change your husband. Okay. Please open yourself to change. Let God change us.